All right. This is the Section 341 meeting in the case of RMS Titanic Incorporated, filed as case number 16-2230 in the Middle District of Florida Jacksonville Division. Today is August 10th, 2016. The time now is about 1:45. My name is Scott Bomkamp. I'm a trial attorney with the United States Trustee, and I'll preside over the meeting. If the parties who are present at the meeting could please enter an appearance.
Daniel Blanks with Nelson Mullins on behalf of the debtors.
Jerome Henschel on behalf of the debtors.
Chris Broussard on behalf of the Arvada Group, GP Inc.
Jeremy Wong on behalf of Packridge Capital Partners.
I'm Audrey Lilo on behalf of Michael Little.
All right. Any telephone parties want to make an appearance?
Sure. Ari Newman of Greenberg Troy on behalf of secured creditors Haiping Zhu, Ji Zhang, and Lan Feng.
Okay.
Ryan Wanger of Kaleo Legal.
All right.
And the debtors.
Sure. At this time, Mr. Henschel, I'm going to put you under oath. With regard to the testimony that you provide here today, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. And again, we've previously conducted 341 meetings in two of the affiliate cases, and I will try not to be redundant. Mr. Henschel, what is RMS Titanic Incorporated? What is its role in the family of affiliate companies?
RMS Titanic is a wholly owned subsidiary of Premier Exhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
It has a long history, I guess, but at this moment it is solver in possession of the Titanic shipwreck, and in 1987, and then from 1993 to almost 2000, we recovered approximately 5,500 artifacts from underneath the sea, from the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
There are two groups of artifacts. One is the 1987 ones, which are known as the French artifacts, and then there are the what we call the American artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in August 2011 there was a court case in Virginia which awarded us silver in possession in either a cash or in specie that the award. And later the next year they awarded us in specie award. They gave us title to the artifacts under certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We have to maintain them. We can't sell them piecemeal. We can only sell them as a group. We have to contribute to a trust fund for their maintenance in perpetuity, $25,000 a quarter up to $5 million.
And we are referencing at this time the so-called American collection?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I some of the lawyers on the conference phone might be able to add more to the actual history.
Okay, I'm personally familiar with that history. Of course, creditors who are present are absolutely free to ask you questions regarding any aspect of it. But what's at 3045 Kingston Court, Suite 1, Peachtree Corners, Georgia?
That's our corporate head office.
Okay, head office.
There's also a warehouse at the rear of it.
But my understanding is that the Titanic assets are somewhere else?
That is correct. I prefer not to say.
Okay. What state are they in?
I'm told we maintain them in an impeccable state.
What state of the Union of the United States are they in?
So they are in Georgia.
Okay.
But they're also in exhibitions in Vegas, Orlando.
And there's at least one artifact that is in a safety deposit box in Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay. Okay. Are the artifacts wasting or deteriorating in any way?
No.
So for example, there's no danger that due to the debtors' financial straits that the artifacts will not be maintained and will lose value and will deteriorate or decay or something like that.
That's correct. That's our collections department. We have not downsized in that area. We have an obligation to the court to maintain those artifacts.
Does that pertain to both the American and the French collection?
Correct. We treat them for maintenance as the same.
Okay. And those employees are employed through Premier Exhibitions Management?
That's correct. All right.
Why are you resistant to disclosing the location of the RMS Titanic collection?
Well, they've been valued at, not in that particular location, but they've been valued at over $200 million.
Okay. Now, there is a regarding the valuations that are on your bankruptcy schedules, there's a book value disclosed of $18 million. And for the non-accountants in the audience, could you explain what a book value is and how that particular book value was computed?
Until the merger last year, the book value was $2.8 million.
Okay.
As a result of the merger and American Accounting Standards reporting, we had to do a valuation of the business, and the evaluation company assigned another $15 million to the value of the artifacts. It's an academic sort of assignment.
Okay.
We didn't write a check for it.
Okay. So the $2.8 million, the original, is that the amount of money spent actually going down in a submarine and salvaging stuff and bringing it up and
I guess I would have to assume that because I wasn't there back then.
Right.
That was the cost that got put in the books.
But it is a cost-based figure.
It is correct.
Okay.
As far as I know.
And then there is, I guess, some sort of accounting standard that kicks into effect upon a merger that causes a reevaluation of the book value.
Correct.
And that's where $18 million comes from.
That's correct.
Okay. And then there's a separate value listed of $218 million. Where does that number come from?
I forget the name of it, but we did a major appraisal, and then we had it reconfirmed several years later by another appraisal firm who deals specifically in fine arts.
Okay.
And they confirmed the results of the first appraisal, and they updated it to the new amount. I believe it's $218 million.
So again, there are like two sub-collections within the collection, the American and the French collection. Does the appraisal pertain to both collections?
Yes.
Okay. And have you also determined the value of the separate collections?
I believe they are documented, but I
as you said,
I can't remember when I briefly looked at some of the documents. So I don't remember if it was split out separately.
Okay. Is one collection clearly worth more than the other? Is it a fairly even split or a not so even split?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay. What's the most valuable item in the collection?
I presume the one in the bank vault. So
what is it?
I imagine it's coins of some sort. I don't know, to be quite honest with you.
One of the problems that we have is none of these items have ever been sold. There's never been a single artifact that's ever been sold that was on the ocean floor. And so there's no market for this. And so any testimony or anybody opinion on exactly what the most valuable piece of this would just be speculation. In the motion to sell, we did list out a variety of items that are included in the French collection. And in the French collection, there is a cherub as well as other items that we believe would garner a significant amount of money. But because they've never been subject to sale, that's just the debtor's position at this time. But because there's no other other artifacts that we can compare these to, the debtors don't have a true opinion as to the specific value of any of these artifacts.
Sure, sure. But you do have specific knowledge of what you have, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what's in the bank box?
I don't know.
Okay. Might be coins.
That would be my logical conclusion. Yeah.
Okay.
Something's sort of smaller.
Mr. Wenger can maybe address this as well, but I believe what's in the bank account or bank vault are different types of money, currency as well as coins.
Okay. So I understand that you're resistant to disclosing where the artifacts are because they're worth, say, $250 million and you don't want them burgled. That makes a certain amount of sense. But are you resistant to disclosing what you've got in terms of an itemized list of the collection?
No, we would have a catalog list of all the pictures.
Okay, all right. So for that reason, request same request essentially in the Premier Exhibitions management case. Although, in a sense, this should be an easier request to fulfill because you don't have categories of things.
You just no, you're press a button.
Right, exactly.
Right, that will come.
Just so we have this, and we'll be happy to do it. But just so you know, just to make it clear from your standpoint, as we discuss in the future, is that in some ways they are bundled together in types of collections. So it would be, for example, you know, we have a bunch of plates.
Dinner plates.
We have a bunch of bottles. We have And so in some ways, it will look like a bundled collection.
No, that's fine. Again, though, you know what we have at this point is. Office furniture, fixtures, and equipment and collectibles, $218 million, roughly. So we request a little more than that. But an itemized list along the lines of what you've described would I think be satisfactory.
Okay.
And I would also request, in connection with that list, that you separate that you know you list the American artifacts and the French artifacts because they because that's meaningful information. Mm-hmm. Who is Sea Adventures Ltd? Did they rent you the submarine what was the basis of their claim?
It was before my days. It had something to do with another sunken ship, Carpathian.
Okay.
And there were a series of contracts. I skimmed them over yesterday, in fact, very briefly, but I don't think we actually ever used any of those artifacts from that shipwreck. But that contract was signed, and this is just the result of litigation. We owe some money.
Okay. Now, with regard to possible interests of parties other than the debtor with regard to the artifacts, and I understand that the debtor takes the view that it owns free and clear title of the French artifacts, but I guess I'm more interested in who could even colorably assert any claim against any of the artifacts. And in that connection, I'd ask, is there any issue with regard to a company that actually insured the Titanic when it wrecked? Do they have a claim against anything? Do they exist?
They have no claim.
Mr. Bellingcamp?
Yes.
Mr. Bellingcamp, this is Brian Wenger.
Yeah.
This is, I think, a uniquely legal question. I'm not suggesting that Mr. Henschel shouldn't try to answer, but I think this deals with a variety of complicated legal issues, and I don't know that he's qualified.
No, really what I'm inquiring about is there are legal issues to be determined. There's no doubt about that. But any entity that even colorably has any claim to any aspect of the Titanic collection. And my first inquiry was about an insurance company. And the reason I asked about the insurance company is because in the motion to sell there, or the response to the motion to sell, I don't recall, there was a printout of a dialogue with a French administrative tribunal in which the tribunal asked the debtor whether the French artifacts were subject to the claim of an insurance company. And the debtor said something along the lines of, no, not these artifacts. So is there an insurance company out there with any colorable claim to any of the artifacts is really the question.
So just, this is not something that Mr. Henshaw will be aware of, and I'm happy to sit down and speak with you in detail, but the answer is no. Those were all formally released decades ago.
Okay. All right. And so there's the United States has some nature of interest in the American collection. That's
correct.
Right. Right. And there's a dispute as to whether the United States has any sort of interest in the French collection by way of the sort of provisions of the stipulation that provide that the artifacts stay together. They have a position that they have an interest. Is that a fair assessment? I know you disagree with that position, but they assert an interest. Is that a fair statement?
They've shown an interest, yes.
They've shown an interest. Okay, all right. And then, of course, there is the possible interest of the French government and the French artifacts.
Correct.
Is there any other party out there, be it creditor, government, secure creditor, any entity other than those entities that might assert a claim in any part of the Titanic collection?
I've not heard of any other entities that might assert a claim in my meetings with the lawyers the last month or so. No one else is on the radar.
Okay, all right. Let's see, with regard to this was addressed in a prior meeting of the creditors. With regard to the various secured creditors, they became secured creditors apparently as a result of the merger. Do they have any secured interest in any of the Titanic artifacts, or do they assert that they do?
They didn't become secured because of the merger. It was later on they loaned more funds.
Okay.
They have a collateral on all the assets other than the direct collateral on the artifacts.
Okay. But they and to the extent they have an indirect interest, it would be that they have a lien on the stock of RMS Titanic Incorporated.
I believe that is true, but I'm not a lawyer. I haven't read the actual loan agreement in detail.
Okay.
I did read somewhere they're fully secured except for the artifacts.
All right. At this time, do any creditors or parties in interest have questions for the debtor?
Yes, Chris Broussard, Model Group GPN. A couple quick questions. I'm sorry if they're otherwise spelled out in the record or duplicitous, but just in the interest of keeping it straight. Ownership of the Titanic artifacts all confined to one entity, RMS Titanic?
Correct.
What about the wreck site?
Were the silver in possession?
So that means it's all in Titanic?
Correct.
Titanic?
Correct.
Any other pieces of the Titanic artifacts or assets that belong to that don't belong to RMS Titanic.
Occasionally, we may I wouldn't say lease them, but we may borrow some artifacts from other. I know recently there was a Montreal group of people that loaned us some artifacts. We just returned them.
That's for the 5500 and the rec site, all in RMS.
Yes.
The French and American collection. Okay. And to your knowledge, was Sam Weiser ever employed by RMS Titanic?
Directly employed by RMST Titanic? Presumably, if he was chief executive officer or interim officer or whatever title he may have had, usually that title is put on all the corporations in the entity. So the actual paycheck, I don't know where it was paid from.
He was involved with the day-to-day operations of RMS Titanic, correct?
If he was CEO at some point, yes.
And to your knowledge, any other way he was involved with RMS Titanic? That comes to mind?
No, I don't.
That's what I have. Thank you.
This debtor has one creditor, Sea Adventures LTD. Is their claim contingent, unliquidated, or disputed? Is it any of those things?
It was disputed. My assistant controller advised me it was just settled, so my legal counsel may know more about that.
Okay. So it is, at this time at least, undisputed in some settled amount.
Correct.
Okay. It was previously referenced in one of the affiliate cases that there was an individual who has been on the board for a substantial length of time. Was it Mr. Parr?
I don't think Mr. Parr sat on the board.
Okay. An individual has been an officer for...
He was a senior vice. He still is a senior vice president, David Parr, if that's who we're talking about.
Where does he operate out of?
He works out of his home. I believe it's in Baltimore or somewhere out east.
Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah. Okay. Who would, in your opinion, you know, where these meetings are being continued, who would be a knowledgeable person that's been with the debtor longer than you have? Obviously, you've made a strong effort to get up to speed on everything, but who would be the best person to testify who's been with the debtor for any length of time?
David Parr has been with us for many years.
Okay.
Our corporate secretary, I believe, has been with us 7 years.
But Mr. Parr is actually an officer, has been continuously an officer.
Senior vice president.
Okay.
We have some board members that have been on the board since the board was created.
Okay.
So they're very familiar with the history.
Okay, so you know, due to the committee issues and because a creditor requested it, and it makes sense to me, would Mr. Parr be able to attend the continued meeting if it were scheduled to accommodate him?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Okay. Yeah. Well, would the debtor fund his travel to the continued meeting? Is there a reason he couldn't? Is he infirm? Or
yes, that's fine. His knowledge is marketing, though. He obviously has the knowledge to create a contract because he sells their exhibitions. I don't believe he has knowledge of the financial aspects of our corporation.
Okay, and obviously I don't mean to impeach your knowledge of the corporation in any way. It's apparent to me that you read an enormous amount and got enough to speed on it, but I do think that the creditor request to have someone here that's been with the company for a longer period of time is reasonable.
I would suggest our corporate secretary.
Who's that?
Her name is, she's here, Jessica Saunders.
Okay. Okay. So at the continued meeting, I'd think it would be reasonable to swear in either Ms. Saunders or Mr. Parr, just to satisfy the concern raised by the creditor that that you know the testifying party has only been with the debtor for a couple of months.
And if the creditor does not show up, do we get reimbursed by him for the cost to have the second meeting?
No.
I thought I'd try.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Bonkamp.
Yes.
Brian.
Hi.
Is there any way that we could take a brief recess in a manner that would allow me to speak with my clients about this continuation of the hearing that you're discussing?
Well, we're about to conclude RMS Titanic Incorporated, or continue it rather, and then the rest of the debtors I don't believe are operating. So,
Mr. Wenger, Mr. Ryan, let me ask you just this: is that Mr. Wenger and I will discuss the client who may be a witness to supplement any of the testimony that's been given today at the continued meeting of creditors, and after consultation with the debtors and discussing the various people who may be the best person to testify about various subjects, if I could reach out to you perhaps early next week and
discuss
that.
Yes, that makes sense, and if there's committee involvement at that point, obviously they can weigh in on that issue as appropriate.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right, and with that,
Mr. Wayne, does that address your issues?
It does. You know, I was just trying to determine whether or not we may be able to resolve this today without the need for everyone to come back. But that was something
And certainly, I'll be extremely accommodating with regard to telephone appearances for anyone other than the. Representative of the debtor, I do find the creditor's request for a continuation to on the stated basis of the request. I mean, I find that to be reasonable, and I don't want to stretch this out any more than possible. But I do find that a reasonable request. So, with regard to RMS Titanic Incorporated. It appears that we're requesting the addendum as to the Titanic artifacts. There's only one creditor on Schedule F, but that schedule needs to be amended for the liquidated contingent disputed issue. And with that, really have nothing further, and this meeting of the creditors is continued.